for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Good evening, folks. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast, episode 11. Steve here. Tonight's topics are going to be Wonder Women in RPGs. My Wonder Women in RPGs. As you can probably tell from the theme intro to this episode, Wonder Women is going to be a bit of a theme. For a little bit, anyway. I promised the Happy Whisk there on the G pluses that I was going to get the Wonder Woman theme song into my next episode. So here it is. The other topic tonight was one suggested by Chuck Thorin over in the OSR Anchorites community on G plus. And his topic suggestion a few weeks ago was, we all know about our introduction to gaming stories. But what about what made us go from being gamers to being bloggers and podcasters? So I'm going to tackle that topic. I don't think I've actually told my introduction to gaming story, so I'm going to add that in as well. So tonight's topics, my Wonder Women in RPGs and Chuck Thorin's going from gamer to blogger podcaster. Before we start, I'd like to thank my callers from the last episode on searching. And the callers were Matt from the Anchor Cast, Matt Random. We had Colin calling in from Spike Pit. And we had Tim calling in from Gothridge Manor. And we had Larry calling in from Follow Me and Die. Thank you very much, guys, for your phone calls and your comments. I really appreciate it. And I will probably follow up on some of those and then put them back into the previous podcasts. So thanks, guys. Later. You can see that I am free. My life is mine, not yours. So leave me be. So Wonder Women in RPGs. What this segment is going to be is I'm going to list a bunch of women that I know of in the RPG industry or field or hobby, whatever you want to call it, whether I'm familiar with their work or I know them by reputation and stuff like that. And at the end, I'm going to list my four most important women to me personally who've affected me in some fashion in my RPG hobby. So the first thing I'm going to do is list a bunch of women who I know of. Now, this is not an extensive list, and there's tons and tons of women I'm obviously not going to mention and don't know of. And so I'm probably a little woefully ignorant about this, but I'm going to do the best that I can to give a little bit of detail. And I would highly encourage you to Google these women if you want to find out any more details about them. So, some of the women who are known for their RPG work are Jean Wells, probably best known for TSR, and the controversial novel or module Palace of the Silver Princess. There's also Jean Raby, who's also from TSR. She wrote some modules and some Dragonlance novels and Endless Quest novels. There's also, of course, Laura Hickman, most famous for being the co-creator of Dragonlance. And she also wrote Rahasia and Pharaoh and co-wrote Ravenloft, I believe, the modules for TSR. Along with another Dragonlance alumni, Margaret Weiss, who is also a novelist and I believe she founded a couple of game companies too, if I remember correctly. Sovereign Stone and Margaret Weiss Productions, I think, as well. I don't know if she's still active in the RPG community or not. anymore. But some other women, we've got Sue Wineland Cook, who was sort of a designer and editor at TSR and Wizards of the Coast, I think. And of course, her husband Monty Cook. She's done some done a bunch of stuff, obviously, for Malhavik Press and for Monty Cook's game company. There's Lisa Stevens, of course, whose career is interwound with the RPG industry, from Lion Rampant to White Wolf to, I think, being one of the first, or if not the first, full-time employee at Wizards of the Coast. And, of course, founding Paizo, who became probably Wizards' biggest competition more recently. Of course, we've also got a couple other names. Lisa Steele, who's known for Fife and Town, which are books she wrote for Cumberland Games, S. John Ross's game publishing company. And she's also done some GURPS work, I believe, as well. And there's Angel Lee McCoy, who I'm familiar with as well, from her work at Wizards of the Coast and Pinnacle and FASA, and probably most well-known for White Wolf stuff. I think she worked in all of the White Wolf game lines. Now, like I said, if you want to Google any of these women to find out more about them and their careers, that's totally cool and awesome. And, of course, if you're someone in the old school gaming community and you're listening to this podcast and you maybe have some issues with gamers and gaming and inclusiveness and things like that, I would strongly encourage you to look up Contessa online. You can check out the website at contessa.rocks. And Contessa is an organization that strives to bring inclusiveness to the RPG community for women and for people of color, queer people, and disabled people as well. So now we get to my four Wonder Women in particular for RPGs. Now for me, and now these women are all from the early years of role-playing games, and they had the most effect on me personally. And so these would be Liz Danforth, of course, from Flying Buffalo, an illustrator and designer and writer, like I said, Flying Buffalo. FASA, she did stuff for TSR as well, Wizards of the Coast, and I think she co-designed Tunnels and Trolls, or was at least very involved with that with Ken St. Andre as well. So she's one of my particular Wonder Women in RPGs. And of course we have Janelle Jacquet, most famous for, in the RPG world, for her Judges Guild work, Dark Tower and Caverns of Thracia. But of course she also had an extensive career in the video game industry, particularly with Coleco and id Software or another company like that. That name escapes me right now. But yeah, Caverns of Thracia, I mean, is one of my favorite modules. I never got to play it, actually. I read it many, many years ago and loved it back in the day, but I never actually got to play it until recently, like within the last year, or at least start to play it anyway. So that's Janelle Jacquet. And also we've got Darlene, of course, famous for the Flannis maps, the Greyhawk maps, and the calligraphy. And she, of course, did all kinds of art as well for various books for TSR. And last, but certainly not least, and probably most important, my number one Wonder Woman in RPGs is my mom. Now, bless her soul, she's no longer with us, but my mom was a big supporter for me in my RPG life in my early years. She actually bought me the AD&D Dungeon Master's Guide for Christmas in 1981, and she wholeheartedly encouraged me to play games and learn about math and have fun and enjoy the role-playing and all of that wonderful good stuff. So My mom is my number one Wonder Woman in RPGs. The story of my introduction to gaming and how I went from a gamer to a blogger and a podcaster. Now, this topic was suggested by, as I mentioned earlier, by Chuck Thorin over in the OSR Anchorites community there on the G Pluses. Now, my introduction to gaming. I started gaming, role playing in 1981. I don't recall how early in the year it was, but I remember I was in school because a group of friends of mine were in the schoolyard one day, and they were talking about how this shopkeeper had totally double-crossed them, and they were going to go to this guy's shop, and they were going to kill him. And me being not even 10 years old at the time, maybe 10 years old. I was born in 71, so now I was in the school year, so I don't remember if it was the fall or if it was in the spring, but at any rate, we were in the schoolyard, and I overheard this, and they were going to go into town, they're going to kill this shopkeeper, and I remember thinking and talking to the guys going, wait a second. Your parents are going to allow you to go downtown and you're going to try and kill a shopkeeper? What are you guys, fucking nuts? You know, I don't know if I swore at the time or not. I mean, I was barely 10 years old, but and they kind of looked at me like I was a fucking alien. And they're like, no, you jackass. It's Dungeons and Dragons. The merchant double-crossed us. He ripped us off on whatever the fuck it was that they were selling, and they were mad. And we're mad, and we're going to go back, and we're going to teach this guy a lesson. We're going to kill him. And I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? You got to explain this to me more. Anyway, so they went on to a long-winded explanation about what Dungeons and Dragons was and what role-playing was and all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my God, you guys got to get me in on this game. This sounds totally awesome. So I got invited to join the group. And I went over, I don't know how much later it was, maybe it was the next week or something, but I remember sitting in one of the guy's basements, Miltos, I think was his name, he was a Greek kid, and of course this was in Scarborough. I grew up in Scarborough in Toronto, which is a very diverse area of the city. And at any rate, it doesn't matter. There was guys of all different, there was Chinese guys, we had a Greek guy, we had a black guy, and I think we had a Pakistani kid as well, who were all playing in this gaming group. And so I go over to this game, and my first character was, I created a magic user. It was first level. Everybody else was like something ridiculous, like fifth or sixth level. And I was the lowly first level magic user because I was brand new. I had to start out at first level. And I had one fucking spell, of course. And that spell was Hold Portal. So being the clever fellow that I am, I named him Merlin. Of course, being familiar with the Arthurian legends and stuff, being a 9 or 10 year old, what 9 or 10 year old boy isn't familiar with the Arthurian legends? in 1981, but so I named him Merlin, and I was a magic user, and I was ready to cast my whole portal spell, and I got eaten alive by, I don't know, I don't even remember what it was. some goddamn monster came at me, and I, like, charged forward, and I cast my whole portal spell, and they're like, no, you idiot, that's on a door. And I was like, oh, okay, then I attacked with my dagger, and I just got mulched, and I died. But I was hooked. I absolutely loved it. And I was spellbound for the rest of the session, even though I didn't get to play. And I learned pretty quickly after that not to go charging at a monster as a first level magic user with a dagger. So that is how I got into role-playing games. In 1981, playing basic expert Dungeons & Dragons in the basement in Scarborough with a whole bunch of guys. And from there, it just escalated really, really quickly. I think I got the box set as soon as I could after that. And I think within a month or two, I was running Keep on the Borderlands for anybody who would play. And that Christmas, my mom bought me the Advanced D&D Dungeon Master's Guide and discovered all of the wonders and the unique Gygaxian language that exists in that hallowed tome. So, that's how I got, that's my introductory story to gaming. That's how I got into it. Now, how did I go from being a gamer, a dude playing, to being a blogger and a podcaster? That's a circular, long, it's a stupid, long-winded story. So, I'm going to just keep it brief. I guess I can't even speak. Basically, I started blogging in 2009, I think. And so this is kind of tied in with my discovery of the OSR, the Old School Renaissance, which I found and came across in 2008, I believe. The first kind of retro clone rules I came across were Daniel Proctor's Labyrinth Lord. I was like, whoa, this is cool. It uses the Open Gaming License and recreates the rules from Basic and Expert D&D, which was my first love. So that was my first exposure to the OSR, was online finding Labyrinth Lord. And then very quickly after that, within a year, of course, discovered Matt Finch's Swords and Wizardry, and Osric, well, maybe Osric first, and then Swords and Wizardry, and Chris Gonerman's Basic Fantasy as well. And I, of course, devoured the musings of Jason Cohn, Philotomy, Juramint, if anyone remembers him. His musings on original Dungeons & Dragons. They had quite an effect on me and made me realize, along, of course, with other websites out there like Dragon's Foot and the old Knights and Knaves Tavern or some shit like that, and a few other forums out there back there and on the web in 2008, 2009, and some of them are still around. Discovered this whole online world of people who were still playing these old games. Now, I had continued to play a kind of a mashup of 2nd edition AD&D and Basic Expert Dungeons & Dragons as kind of my home system from the late 80s, 1990, all the way up through until 2008, 2009. I had always loved Dungeons & Dragons, and I got into the 2nd edition. I got on board with that when it came out in 89. I'd always kind of played, although I loved AD&D, I did find it too complex at times, and I couldn't be bothered with some of the rules, like many people, of course. One of the reasons why I kind of fell in love with Labyrinth Lord first, when I discovered it. But so I'd been playing a 2E Basic Expert mashup for years and years and years, all through the 3E era Once that came out in like 2000, something like that. I played that for a while and then got pissed off with it and got sick of rules arguments and fights and shit like that with people that were playing that. And then I went back to my 2E BX mashup. And then, of course, 4th edition came out in 2008, and I gave that a whirl for a while and didn't like it because it was basically seemed like a skirmish game, and it just didn't have the same feel of Dungeons & Dragons that I had appreciated over the years, and that pretty much coincided with discovering the old-school renaissance. And as we all know from history, that and Matt Finch, of course, and his old school gamer radio, Uncle Matt's radio videos, goes through all of this historical stuff, so I'm not going to repeat any of that. Google Matt Finch and Uncle Matt's old school gamer radio or whatever his show is called, and you'll find out in much more detail than I can give you. So 2008, 2009, about the time of 4E, the OSR started to sort of surface, and I discovered it then, and that's when I started blogging in 2009. I did that for a little bit, mostly for Swords and Wizardry, I think, and so maintained my blog ever since, really. I mean, there were long stretches of dark periods where I didn't do anything on the blog, which is dndborderlands.blogspot.com, if anyone at all is interested in checking that out. I don't really post anything there anymore since moving over to G+ a few years ago, but the Borderlands, that's my blog, and it's been around since 2009. I'm not very active on there. I just post occasionally. I've got some maps up there. I got some useful downloads and just a bunch of typical stuff like that. So what made me go from being just a gamer to being a blogger and a podcaster? I mean, the podcasting thing is brand new to me. I just started this a couple months ago. And I never thought I would do something like this, but here I am, blabbing away into a fucking microphone and hoping that somebody's paying attention. Blogging, I got sick of kind of doing that thing, and there were so many blogs, so many people who are so creative and have much more interesting things than me to say. So I kind of only dabbled in the blogging thing. And the podcasting thing, like I said, I just started a couple of months ago. And I'm finding this to be the funnest thing. I'm actually surprised that I'm kind of digging talking into a stupid microphone and staring at my walls and staring at my computer screen and the pictures and the maps on my wall, that kind of stuff while I'm talking in here and moving my hands around, which of course nobody can see. So this is terrible radio because I'm describing what I'm doing. But I'm digging this podcast stuff, particularly on Anchor, because it's much more interactive than most podcasts. And people, you know, they ring you up and they leave you a message and they talk about your topics. And I do the same for other people's shows. And it's really, really cool. And it feels, you know, like a burgeoning community here on Anchor of old school people with their silly little podcasts. It's so amateurish, and you know, some of us gussy it up a little bit with some sound effects and neat stuff. But primarily it's just about communicating back and forth, and that's what I kind of dig. So what made me decide to make that leap from being a gamer to being a blogger and a podcaster? Probably that I got sick of thinking that my stuff wasn't good enough to be useful to other people. I think that was the impetus. I mean, there were so many published books by these so-called fucking authors who were industry, you know, heavyweights, and I read this stuff and I'm like, this is fucking shit. This is utter shit. It's totally useless, and I wonder if these people even fucking play games anymore half the time, you know? I mean, there's so much crap that got produced by the role-playing game industry after the D20 glut in particular in the early 2000s. I mean, it really kind of, I started, you know, in the D20 boom, I kind of started writing and submitting stuff to publishers, and I got ripped off on a few things where I submitted a whole shitload of work and never got paid for it, and some of my work, which I thought was pretty decent, got rejected, and then you see what gets published by some of these companies, and it's just utter crap, and you go, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm just going to do my own stuff and create it and put it out there on the web and see what people think. And I just started doing little small things. You know, just useful downloads and things like that. Like most people. Like most of the people who put stuff up on their blogs. You know, it's just because we all have this creative drive within us and we all love role-playing games and we all just want to share the stuff that we do because we have a passion for it and we want to share that passion with other people. I mean, that's what drove the blogging, and that's what I think is driving the podcasting right now, which just happens to be the latest, most interesting sort of avenue for us to share our ideas and communicate what it is that we have going on in our gamer heads. So really, the leap from the gamer to the blogger and the podcaster was just realizing, you know what? I'm just as good as these fucking industry professionals. I have ideas. I have cool things in my head. Maybe they don't come out as polished, but what the fuck is polished anyway? I mean, a lot of the shit that was produced by the big companies, so to speak, was just filler. You know, they were getting paid by the word. So you get these big, massive books full of fucking stupid rules and stupid-ass fucking colorful background for stupid-ass settings when none of it was fucking relevant. I mean, who remembers all of that shit anyway, right? So, anyway, I don't want to sound too negative, but I'm a bit of a metalhead. So once I get on a rant, I kind of keep going. But I'm gonna cut that off, and maintain some better vibes. So that's how I went from being a gamer to a blogger and a podcaster. Was realizing, you know what? We're all the same thing. Some of us are a bit more polished than others, but we're all the same. So, I think 17 minutes for this segment is probably long enough. So, I'll stop rambling now and cue Orion and Metallica for the outro music.